In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is my impression that for a great many of the faithful, it is difficult for them to understand how they should approach our Blessed Mother and the relationship that they should share with her. I'm not sure if this is born because of the general confusion about Our Lady in the life of the Church in the post-conciliar period, or the tendency that we have so oftentimes to try to find ways to simply relate everything about the Christian dispensation to every aspect of our lives, and we've lost sight of the disposition of being able to simply contemplate the things of God. Yes, as we stand before the Lord, there is always the implied expectation that we do something with what it is that God is doing with us. And that grows out of the very nature of relationship itself. If someone speaks to you, you should speak back to them. If you are engaged, you should strive to be engaging. Such is the nature of human interaction. But it is, maybe admittedly, on a natural level, difficult to understand the role and place of Our Lady, and more importantly, our relationship with her. And as such, the response to that struggle, that difficulty, is the dynamic and disposition of contemplation. That is the first, if you will, reality that we should undertake as we approach each and every feast connected to Our Lady, and this particular feast especially. In the fullness of time, in God's divine providence, from the moment of the sin of Adam and Eve, God had already prepared our salvation through our Blessed Mother, the spotless woman who would come into the world, she who was empty of original in all sin, to crush the head of the serpent once and for all by being the worthy tabernacle of the Word made flesh. This is something beyond our comprehension. Our minds simply are not capable, as facile as they may be, as wise as we may think we are, to truly understand what it is that God does when He unfolds for us the truth of salvation in our Blessed Mother and her Immaculate Conception. And so you should sit before this reality. And that there is an octave attached to this reality makes perfect sense. One day is not sufficient to truly enter in and understand what it is that God is doing for us. Why would God do this? How is it that we have become worthy of such a great gift? Not only the gift of life itself in the moment of creation, which we squandered almost immediately, but then that God, in the fullness of time, would restore us. And the manner of restoration is perfect, fitting, and precise. Everything about the unfolding of salvation history, as we now know it, as it has been given to us, not something that we divined ourselves, nothing that we came to understand on our own, but rather that which has been revealed to us makes perfect sense. God chooses to redeem His people by becoming one with them in all things but sin. He takes on the human condition precisely to show forth both the power, grace, and beauty of the human condition. Despite the fact that the human condition was also the means by which death entered the world, the human condition is now the means by which life transforms it once and for all. And a key central figure to the unfolding of this is this virgin girl, living in this far away place, chosen from the beginning of time. There are some scripture scholars who have opined that our Blessed Mother was forced, if you will, an unfair burden placed upon her shoulders to take on this reality to be the Mother of God. But nothing could be further from the truth. Mary was always free. This is the beauty of her example for us. Yes, indeed, she was endowed with the fullness of grace, sinless as she was from the moment of her own conception, and yet still free to choose to do the things that God asked her to do. And in that freedom, perfect as that freedom was, and the fullness of grace that she received, she cooperated with God in every aspect of her life, praying and praising God, and then waiting for that moment, whenever that moment would reveal itself, that God had a plan for her. And yet, if God had not chosen her, the plan would have still have been the same. To do what? To give praise and glory to God. To let my soul magnify the Lord. To let my spirit rejoice in God, my Savior. And so it happens that the angel Gabriel appears to Our Lady and gives to her this mission. A mission which she continues to this precise moment now. A mission now that we are allowed to share in by the mystery of our Lord's cross. As our Lord entrusts Our Lady into the heart and life of the beloved disciple, He likewise asks each of us to do the same, to welcome Mary into your heart and into your lives. I'm still amazed, brothers and sisters, not by the ignorance and darkness of the secular world, not by the confusion and doubt from our separated brethren, and not even necessarily by Catholics themselves who simply do not know the faith. I'm surprised by us. We who, in one sense, because of the blessings given to us by the manner in which we celebrate Mass, should know better and be better in one sense. And yet, how often do I hear that people do not have relationship with Our Lady? Why not? Why do you persist in doing this by yourself when God provides you this greatest of treasures to take unto your very self? To learn from her, to be guided by her, to be protected by her. And these are not rhetorical things that she does, but actual true things she does in our lives. And so you must ask yourself, if you do not have a relationship with your mother, why do you not? And what are you waiting for? And today is a good day to begin again, to strive anew, and to build relationship with our mother, so that you can learn from her, be protected and guided by her, and in the fullness of time, truly let your life be like her life, to receive the good news from God that you've been chosen to be an instrument of His grace. But by your baptism, that is precisely what each of you has become, instruments in God's divine providence, for the salvation not only of your own souls, but for the salvation of the whole world, to touch and to transform lives, not necessarily lives that you would choose, lives that you would know whose life you are changing, only that God has placed you into this world and has reconfigured you by the grace of baptism to bring that grace that has been given to you to be shared with the rest of the world. Don't waste time. Use the Advent season as an opportunity to grow closer to our Lord. And let that begin for all of us by a disposition and a spirit of contemplation. Pray. Pray unceasingly. Come and spend time in the presence of our Eucharistic Lord, whether it is in adoration or simply coming into church, any church, and finding our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament and kneeling down before Him and giving praise that you are allowed to be in the presence of the living God. We take all of this for granted. And while we do that, we squander the very graces that we need in order to be like our Blessed Mother. There always is this misunderstanding that Our Lady receives something to which we do not have access. And that simply is not the case. Mary receives in advance that which we now receive through the dispensation of the Lord's cross and the mystery of the Holy Sacraments. But grace is poured out upon grace, Scripture tells us. Grace is available to us. If it is squandered, if it is lost, if it is insufficient, it is not because of anything that God does, but because we fail to cooperate with the blessings bestowed upon us. The Advent season, as we are now in it, tells us that now is the acceptable time. Today, this moment, is the acceptable day and moment. What more do you need to, in that disposition of contemplation, give thanks to God for what it is that He has bestowed upon you? Then in that spirit of gratitude, asking for an outpouring of grace to live like Our Lady, unceasingly praising God, a heart and a soul so attuned and full of love that the second person of the Blessed Trinity leapt from heaven to make His home in her womb. a soul that magnifies the Lord, that spirit that rejoices in God who is Savior. But then also the one who goes in haste, the one who teaches, admonishes, even the Lord himself. Our Blessed Mother is the first and in truth the best of disciples, the exemplar and the one to whom we should go constantly in order to make sure that we are living well the Catholic life that God has given us. And so give praise and honor and glory to our Blessed Mother, because only in all ways does she do what it is that she was meant to do from the moment of her Immaculate Conception, to lead us more deeply into relationship with her Son. And in that intimate relationship of love, knowing how it is that we have been loved by God first in the mystery of his Son, that we are allowed to return that love by that same Son who draws us to the Father and gives us the gift of the Spirit. All of this for us in our Advent season, to prepare for the coming of our King. Open your hearts to receive the Word made flesh, the God who has come, the God who will come, and the God who is with us even now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.